Welcome back to the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs, where we have an open forum discussing health care in the province. Before we start, for speakers, Terry and another person, Trevor Page, will be going around the tables to see if you were interested in a ticket for the gala on March 31st. May I ask that you come up, make your points, and please go to a mic so that we don't have a minute or so delayed while you're winding away to a table. Get a speaker at one mic and then get another mic so I can recognize you. Okay, let's start.
David Liner. I read Iris Evans' letter to the Herald a couple of weeks ago and was rather shocked by it. Early on in her letter, she commented about a fact, which I can't recall, but it seemed to be the most fictitious statement that I'd read in a long time. And then I've read numerous emails, I've responded to her letter, and she responded to mine, and I've responded to hers. But what I'd like to refer to this morning is policy directions number 8 and 9 about expanding the system. And it states here, Albertans want more options for healthcare services. That's the first part of it. Now, how does anybody arrive at that statement that Albertans want more options? Where does that come from? And continuing on, while maintaining essential services in the public health system. What are the essential services that are being referred to here? And then it goes on, to make this happen, patients may be given the option of purchasing services they're waiting for now, like hip, knee, or cataract surgery. My neighbor's been waiting 3 years, I think it's for a hip. And there doesn't seem to be one in sight. The private healthcare system will be closely monitored by government. Well, now, that's an interesting statement. I'd like to know how that's going to work out. I just find this setup that we're faced with here intolerable.
Okay. Hello, I'm Diane Pointer. I'm with Friends of Medicare. I'm a retired nurse, and I have lots of opinions. I do believe that our healthcare system was set up deliberately to fail when Mr. Klein came into office. I don't doubt that for a minute. I also, in Lethbridge, we saw St. Michael's Hospital destroyed, and we're left with one hospital, which has to service a very large trade area, not just Lethbridge, but because they also closed down many of the rural hospitals, the regional hospital here serves a very large area. So it's busy. I have a daughter that lives in Bonnyville. Up there they have two doctors. You talk about abuse to emergency. People can't get into a doctor. When you're sick, you go to emergency. You sit there feeling like hell for 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 hours, and then like the young man that left one hospital and went home and died. That's why. He can only sit there for so long and he can't tolerate it any longer. It's time. There's only one pocket. We pay. Whether we pay through a private insurance, public insurance, however we pay, there is one pocket. So don't be misled that because you do it another way, you should have an advantage. There is but one pocket. And our health care dollars, our premiums should not be paid into a for-profit healthcare provider. As far as insurance goes, as I look around this room, I see that most of the heads are very gray. Some of us ladies cheat a week had, but none of us would be even eligible for a private insurance policy. It would be so expensive we could not even afford it. So let's not kid ourselves. We had a very, very, very good health plan, and we need to stick with it and work on it and get it back to where it was 15 years ago. Thank you.
My name is Is this, can you hear it? My name is Stan Sawicki. And just a comment or two before my own comments about David Lina's comments about point 9 in that health paper. David, you and I are on the same wavelength, even though we haven't collaborated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want more on the points that David was making, read my letter to the editor from Monday morning. Okay, now, the leading candidate to replace Ralph Klein is the chairman of the board of a health insurance company selling private health insurance and promising faster access to services like heart bypass surgeries. And that leading candidate to replace Ralph Klein is Jim Dinning. And one more sentence. The NDP opposition leader Brian Mason revealed today, and this is dated March 22nd, which is yesterday, that a wholly owned subsidiary of the Western Financial Group is the underwriter for private health insurance policies being marketed to well-off Albertans, allowing them to jump the healthcare queue for diagnosis and treatment. The chairman of the Western Financial Group's board of directors is none other than conservative leadership candidate Jim Dinning. And this guy might be the next premier, for God's sake.
To avoid gaps, please go to a mic ahead of time. Otherwise, we're wasting time and you won't be able to get people to speak. So the next speaker, please come up and get a mic.
My name is Alida Hess. Okay, my name is Alida Hess. And first of all, I would like to say something to Ruth Elzinga. Did you watch Mandy Wesley's program? Okay, too bad you didn't. Because in there it says that the pharmaceutical companies are not interested in research. They're making too much money on medicine. So you go back and have a look, okay? And you shouldn't be criticizing. Of course, you protect. You're 100% conservative. So of course you protect the conservative.
Each person can express their views. Please don't attack someone else's views.
So, anybody watched Tommy Douglas?
Yes.
Okay, so you think we should go back to where we were, where poor people can't afford Medicare, and people are dying because they can't pay for the doctors? We had a good medical system. We should stay with it. Thank you.
My name is Eric Williams. I'm shortly retired out of medicine. I would point out that in the last 4 years, since we've had these big increase in oil profits, a lot of money more has been thrown at Medicare by the Alberta government. 46% in the last 4 years, not taking into account yesterday's budget, which I don't understand at the moment. Canada and Alberta in particular were in budgetary deficits in the early 1990s, partly due to Michael Wilson, who's just gone to Ottawa. And in 1993, there was a severe cutback in the number of doctors being trained. We cut down the number of acute hospital beds everywhere, and we closed large numbers of acute care beds, which are the more expensive beds to be kept going. And the net result was Alberta did solve its budgetary deficit faster than any other province, when, in fact, oil was not very well paid for, between $11 and $14 at that time. They cut also the number of doctors in training. The reason for that being that doctors cost, they worked it out, that having a doctor in practice cost about $600,000 a year, because he was going to order lab tests and hospital admissions, he was going to order x-rays and so on. And the cost of medicines that was going to fall on the public sector. So in other words, we cut back the number of doctors in training, and the number of nurses and because he would pull down hospitals, then a whole cohort of nurses emigrated, and we never got them back, of course. The net result is now we have 1,000 doctors short in Alberta alone. Although we've paid doctors much better in the last couple of years, and we have stolen doctors from all the provinces in this country, except BC, we are still 1,000 doctors short. And even if we replace those 1,000 doctors, we'll still be 1,500 doctors short in 2010. And those are government figures. My real problem is about the hospital boards and the administration, which are not accountable to our government, unfortunately, in Alberta. And this is a major sin. But the people on all boards in this country, in this province, have been put there according to their membership of the PC party. That is plainly wrong. And the arrogance of power that the Conservative Party have got at the present time is a very bad thing. They've been in power far too long at 35 years. The cost of administration in Lethbridge? Well, how would you compare the cost of administration in this area with the cost of the administration of the emergency department, which is more important? Well, the emergency department is a very expensive place to run. They have to have excess doctors, excess nurses there, nearly all the time, day and night, for any emergency that comes in. But the cost of administration of this CHRA here is 4.28% of the budget. The cost of all the emergency care facilities in all the hospitals in this region is 2.69. 4.28. So it's more than 50% more than the cost of all emergency services. That is plainly wrong. We've had a great burgeoning of, there's the pie chart if anybody wants to see it. It's very easy to read. The trouble about the administrations are they're only responsible to the minister. And none of the rest of us can examine how useful their work really is. Well over 110 people went down from this CHRA here in Lethbridge down to Boston to be trained for I don't know what. They'd never accounted for it. But they were very happy to say that these people had been upgraded by going down to Boston. The cost of medicine has increased very greatly. Why? And that is because we did not, 10 years ago, do the number of joint replacements and cataract operations that we now do. The demand for them has become much greater. The man who mentioned about the hip waiting list delay, well, the waiting list in Lethbridge area is only 120 days for hip replacements. And that is in the statistics. And it's all available in their report. But there's no extra cost here, even for cataracts, to be done. And there's no need to. It's not too bad to wait 3 months or 4 months anyway to wait for a hip operation.
Excuse me, but the novel For Whom the Bell Tolls, it tolls for you, please.
Okay. Private care. Obviously, the hot doctors should not be taken out of the public system. The public has been subsidizing their training. The public subsidizes the training of nurses and MRI specialists and MRI technicians and CT technicians. And the private facilities can afford to pay more than the public system because they're getting them on the cheap. It is quite wrong. Skimming of the good risks from public health care system will obviously be profitable to the private care system, but is in fact immoral. Thank you.
I'm Ardell Harris, and it seems, however it's measured, money seems to be the big issue in health care. So I'd like to follow along with that and suggest that we should give some support to some of the initiatives that the provincial people are suggesting. One of them being the idea of multidisciplinary care. This was discussed at our table. It's in that document in sort of a passing fashion. But this is where you give more responsibility to nurses and pharmacists, for example, for patient care, which would take the pressure off the doctors. And I think we need to support that and indicate that we would be interested in pursuing it as one means of improving care and taking the pressure off the doctors who are in short supply. It follows from that that you will need to find a different way of funding the doctors, because right now fee-for-services doesn't work with multidisciplinary care. Secondly, may I support what Van Christou was saying about prevention and education? We have glossed over that and perhaps misunderstood what he was saying. We're not talking about blaming the victim. We are talking about the enormous savings in both health and money if we get into the prevention and education field. And we're not emphasizing that enough, and I think we should. Thank you.
My name is Art Sanford, and I am a director of the Chinook Health Region, so I want to be very clear that I'm speaking on behalf of myself, not the board of directors or the chairman, because that is his job when he is speaking on health care. But I do have a great deal of concern. I have been a member of that board since 2001-2002. I can tell you, first of all, I should back up and tell you that I was an elected member with a fairly good majority in this city. Since then, they've gone away with that, and they've gone to appointments. Every single provincial government in Canada, whether they be NDP, Liberal, or Conservative, have gone to appointed health boards. There are no elected health boards in Canada. And there's a reason for that, and you can draw your own conclusions. I don't necessarily agree with it. One thing I wanted to mention, there's some talks, costs. In the 4 years that I have been on the Chinook Health Region Board, our costs have gone from $200 million a year to $300 million. So you can do the math on that, and you can see what the increase is. That is our actual budget. I hate to disagree with my friend John over there, but we do not pay our CEO $300,000 plus a year, because I negotiated the wage, and it's not that high. It's $255,000. And that's less than many doctors make. Whether and I might mention, you know, the CEO has a job of that $300 million budget plus 3,500 staff to look after. And a very critical system. It's the biggest corporation south of Calgary. I agree totally with Van when he talks about expectations. That's what's hurting us all. But I disagree with him when he said there's no interest in prevention. We do spend a lot of money on prevention, but the problem we have is people come in and demand and need emergency care, and the money flows that direction, because that's one of the things that happens in the healthcare system. You can't say no when somebody arrives at your door needing service. So that is the priority, whether we like to admit it or not. Just a few other comments, looking at it on a more of a national basis. In Alberta, in 93, I believe the health budget was 24% of the total budget. Today it's about 35%. And what you've got to realize when that happens, it draws money out of education and social services. They start getting the short end of the stick. So it's not all that simple that, hey, well, it's okay because it just keeps going. Manitoba, by the way, is almost 50%, and they're hurting badly. We talk about a shortage of doctors and nurses, and it's an interesting one. I had an MLA tell me in Calgary, Edmonton last week when I was at a meeting. The nurses came in to him and they said, you know, you wouldn't have a real shortage of doctors if you let us work to the top level of our scope of practice, what we are trained for. We could do 40% of what the doctors are doing. And they're correct. A week later, they walk in and said, you've got to stop those LPNs. They're doing some of our work. Even though they're trained for it, they can't do that. So it's both sides. Just a quick mention, when one of the myths in healthcare is that we have the best system. The World Health Organization rates us 30. Number 30, there's 29 countries have a better system than us. Every one of them has a mixture of private and public. And they're doing a better job. And we are the third highest spender on a GDP of all the healthcare systems around the world. So don't sell us too short. I would like to take time to tell you about the primary healthcare system that's coming out, but Ed's cutting me off. But there's a tremendous new system that is already in the clinics in Lethbridge right now being worked on, and it's a health team that's working rather than just a doctor. and it's a wonderful system that's going to work well for us. It's called primary health care system. That's as simple as that. And when you go to that doctor, you will not be going directly to the doctor. You go to the health team first, who will do a lot of the pre-op work, cuts down the time the doc needs to spend with you, and not only that, you're seeing specialists in physio or whatever. So it's a much better system. Doesn't cost any more money at all. It's all paid for in the system by the government.
Do we have anybody else at the mics that wants to speak? If you don't go to the mics and follow my admonition, I'm going to keep you all here for a half an hour after writing lines. I will go to the mic.
Bob Anderson. First off, I'd like to congratulate the Chinook Health Region for moving on what in other provinces is called a navigator system. It's been around for some time. I'm aware of one in the West Coast because I have a daughter who's a physician and who is leading that team. It's a good system, I think. It maximizes the use of all healthcare people and I think is much more efficient, services people more quickly and better. And the primary healthcare that Art was talking about is moving in that direction. I think we should support it, push hard for it. One other point, I've talked to as many physicians as will lend me their ear, and I don't find any that really want to practice in both systems. In fact, I haven't found any who wanted to practice in anything but the public system. I think there's a strong feeling that that's the system that is supported, at least by all of the physicians I've spoken with. Practicing in the private system by our physicians, I cannot understand how you can pull a doctor full-time or part-time out of the public system and not weaken it. They would probably cherry-pick their patients, deal with them quickly, dump them back in the public system for the expensive rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff. It's a no-brainer, I think, the idea of working in both systems, especially if the public purse is going to pay for the private system in some way. If they want to go private, pay for the whole thing. Pay for the training of the doctors, the facilities, the lab work, everything. If they're going to be private, then be private. Don't be a little bit private and have the public system cover some of your expenses.
Terry Shillington. I really appreciate Art Sanford's comments, and I was hoping that someone from the CHR would make those comments. I think that, to me, the central question is not being confronted by the provincial government. I think we can agree that costs are rising. I'm not sure how much they're rising, but clearly they are rising, and expectations are rising as well. But what I didn't hear Art answer, and what I'm not hearing answered in the spin from the provincial government is how privatizing will save money. All the research that I'm aware of indicates that the private layer to medicine actually adds to the cost, and there's lots of American data to support that. It may lower the provincial budget and shift it to our private expenditures, but it doesn't make healthcare cheaper. So I don't think there is an answer to that. I think that the provincial government is ideologically driven in many areas of our economy to do things privately, but I don't think it saves money, and I'd like to hear that question really confronted how the citizen will save money in the long run by private medicine. It hasn't been revealed to me.
Hey, this is Howard Forsyth. This is really a complex thing. Art, you said something about the budget for prevention. Look, if you budget the total thing for service and you didn't budget for prevention, of course you have to borrow from one. That's a trick. Most of what you said made sense, but that one didn't. Most of what we hear in the easy public discussion is we got to go public because we have waiting lists. Who built the waiting list? Who set up this system? That's a trick. They're playing a trick on us. If they can show us some way or other that we're not getting full service out of their decisions, And then they blame us and say, we got to throw a different system at you, which is more expensive. It'll divert doctors. It'll do all kinds of things that we're afraid of. It's a trick. We're being taken advantage of it. I can't understand it.
Fritz, with one more comment. Isn't changing this to private health care deregulation? And what did that do to us with all our utilities and everything else?
I'm Gordon Campbell. I'm saddened in a way to have to speak today. Saddened of having to speak today because we need information from our hospital authorities. We invited them to come and they didn't come. I'm saddened about that. That isn't accountability of the kind that I want to have in a democratic system. That's bad government. I'm also bewildered, simply bewildered, as to why Mr. Klein and his government are driving us into a private for-profit medical system. I cannot understand it. The premier has himself stated that private for-profit medicine costs minimally 10% more because there is a profit to be made. Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious that the private for-profit system is going to take doctors and nurses, laboratory technicians and all who have been trained in a public system for public service, take them away to provide for private persons who can jump the queue on the basis of money? I declare, fellow citizens, I declare it is immoral to make money the mechanism for getting faster service, jumping the queue. That is wrong. Just plain wrong. So that's what the Medicare, Friends of Medicare are standing for. Public service for all. The continuation of the Canada Health Act. And I want to invite all of you, and all of you from the television audience, who wish to assist the Friends of Medicare, which is a politically neutral, non-partisan, voluntary organization of citizens concerned with public health and single-payer health system in Canada and in Alberta. We want to protect it against the people who are set about to destroy it. Remember Bill 11? Remember the fuss that was made in the city? Remember the huge rallies that were held in Calgary? Remember the rallies that were held outside the legislative door in Edmonton? Remember those rallies in which Canada and Alberta, as a single voice almost, said to Mr. Klein, we won't have it. Bill 11 was passed anyway. Is that a democracy you want to have? Shame on this government for that kind of democratic procedures. The Herald, in a splendid article 2 days ago, did you read it, made a case for the bewildering antics of democracy in this province. And it, too, is shameful to have the lowest sitting number of days of any legislature in Canada with the greatest amount of money. Shame on these things. Enough for me, except to tell you that I want to warmly welcome any of you who want to help us. We're mobilizing as best we can the citizenry to oppose Mr. Klein's initiatives. Brian Mason is speaking on the 27th of this month in MacKillop United Church at 7 o'clock. He's been an articulate spokesperson, and go to hear him and get information from him directly from the legislature. Then there is on Thursday the 30th a book launching, a book on the privatization of health care in Alberta. Please go to that book launching if you want to know more. Buy one of the books and become informed. Inform yourself and your community. And then most importantly of all, perhaps most important, is a rally which is being sponsored April the 1st in Galt Gardens. It's on a Saturday. It's meant to be bringing your dog, your cat, your uncle, your aunt. Bring anybody you want that can help make a statement and mobilize the feelings of this community, our feelings about the government we have and the kind of judgments the government is making about health care. That takes place at noon, and immediately after that, what time? 1:30. Thank you. 1:30 to 2:30. Thank you, Diane. 1:30 to 2:30, and immediately after that, there will be a consultation with the people in the library. And that consultation, that information, as will this video today, be sent to Mr. Klein, as he has requested. And then, finally, there is to be a speaker next week talking about the economics of the third way. And you will hear again what I've said today. It's not going to cost less, it's going to cost more. So please help with the Friends of Medicare. Join the Friends of Medicare if you want to. $10, is it, Diane? $15, not much, but it'll help us send some envelopes out and keep the energies of those people who are concerned about Medicare going. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gordon. We have a few minutes still on TV, and I want to remind the TV audience that next week's program is A Danger Lurking in the Shadows, the Effect of the Third Way on Employers. And the speaker will be Gil McGowan, the trade union leader. And I also want to invite the TV audience and you people to look for tickets for the Friday, March 31st festival event. You get a wonderful dinner with it. John Gilchrist of the CBC in Calgary. Is there anyone else that wants to come to the mic? Yes? Yes? Grab a mic.
Gordon, you said you're puzzled why the government is doing it. I'm not. Not at all. It's crystal clear. You look at the record of the government right from the beginning. They've been committed to a policy of privatization right down the line. Not only health care, the liquor stores, the maintenance of the highways, you could go on and on and on. Now, those things aren't necessarily bad. You know, I really do believe in capitalism and private enterprise compared to communism and socialism. Anyway, but when it comes to health care should not be subject to the rules of the marketplace. In the marketplace, you can buy and sell wherever. In healthcare, the people who provide healthcare service, they know that they're in an industry where for the customers of healthcare, money is no object. I wish I could find a product to sell that anybody in the world would want it so bad that money would be no object. The rules of the marketplace should not obtain. It needs regulation. And so, if you're puzzled about why the Klein government is doing what they're doing, as far as privatization, that's part of their overall plan right from the day that they were elected. They are committed to the principle that anything that a government does deprives the private sector of its God-given right to make a profit.
Thank you, Sam. Before the TV closes off, I want to invite all those in TV land, as well as you people, that if you want to express other views, please write to Iris Evans at the legislature, phone her, or drop a questionnaire or that at Clint Dunford's office. They'll be receiving them there.